The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
You're listening to the Superman Super Show, episode number 13, Superman Declares War on Reckless Drivers. Hello and welcome to an all-new episode of the Superman Super Show. I'm a host, my name is Steven, and 1,000 miles over there to my right is another host, Mr. Ed Moore.
Howdy.
Howdy, Ed. How's things?
Things are going, sir.
How are things going since 5 seconds ago when we last talked?
Well, actually, you know, in the small talk world, you often talk about the weather.
Yes.
And today has been about 10 degrees cooler than it has for like the last week. So the weather, a little bit of rain, but the weather has been nice, with the full expectation that it'll get back up in for us into the mid to high 80s, low 90s here very soon, which is, it's hot and it's kind of usual for Southern West Virginia, but us West Virginians being in higher mountains, we don't like temperatures like that, even though that's what we get nowadays. So, yeah.
It's doing practically the exact same thing in Kansas. Super hot for a couple of weeks. Not as hot as it's going to get, but it's felt like it should be August, the way as hot as it's been.
Yeah.
But then these last couple of days, it was so nice yesterday that we wanted to turn off the air conditioning and throw open all the windows. But the way this freaking house is, it takes like a good week of cool weather for it to actually get into the house.
Right. Yeah. It wouldn't have worked. It would just made it hotter. Yeah.
Yeah. And in fact, with the air conditioner on, we'd still step outside and it would be cooler outside. So, but yeah, it gets fairly humid and hot right around mid July into August here in Kansas. So it sucks really bad. I mean, I know people in other areas of the country hear me say that and go, man, you guys don't know what hot is, but it's still hot to me.
I was going to say, for us, I have a really good idea of what hot is. You know, I don't live in Texas. I don't live in Arizona. I don't, you know, so yeah, there's some.
That's a dry heat.
Different realities of, you know, so.
We get, you know, the thing is with Kansas, I don't know how it's like over there, but we get both. We get super freezing cold winters and super hot summers. It may not get as cold as it gets up in Canada, but it still gets below freezing, quite a bit below freezing. But so,
yeah, I think probably the difference is from what I understand, people that I've known that have lived out in Kansas and the Great Plains, we get those things too, but they don't last as long for us. Like, yeah, we get temperatures below zero and we get the nasty wind, you know, double digit below zero negative kind of thing. But that's like a day or two, and maybe that happens a couple times in the winter, and that's it. It's not like week long stretches of single digit degree. You know, we don't fortunately have to experience that. Yeah. Our snows, it'll snow whatever, hard, salt, whatever. Within 2 days, it's completely gone, and you can't even tell that it did. It doesn't stay. When it happens, it's bad, but fortunately, it doesn't stick with us. So,
it's like, Doug's introduction to Superman was, or at least he started reading monthly with John Byrne as well.
Yes.
Yeah. John Byrne was a gateway for a lot of people. It was a big deal when John Byrne went over to DC. I didn't know it back then. I was young enough that I had no idea what that meant, that John Byrne was over at DC. I just thought it was some good Superman stuff.
Yeah. You just knew you liked his art. Well, that's cool. Yeah.
All right. So today we're going to look at a little story called Superman Declares War on Reckless Drivers. It appeared in Action Comics number 12, which was written by Jerry Siegel, pencils by Joe Shuster and Paul Cassidy, and inks by Joe Shuster. course, Action Comics number 12 was published by DC Comics. It has a cover date of May 1993, and according to Mike's Amazing World of Comics, an approximate sale date, on sale date of April 4th, 1939. So here's what happened in the issue. Clark Kent finds a friend of his, Charlie Martin, has been hit by a reckless driver. As Superman, he busts into the studio of a radio station, WVUX, and issues a warning. Homicidal drivers will have to answer to him. He starts a mini-pronged attack on the causes of bad driving. He destroys all the impounded cars of traffic violators. He destroys unsafe used cars. He scares a drunk driver and a hit-and-run driver into changing their ways. He destroys the equipment of the Bates Motor Company, who made inferior cars that were involved in many accidents. He stops a police officer from taking a bribe. He straightens a road that has dangerous curves. And finally, he catches the mayor speeding and shows the mayor all the deaths he's responsible for by failing to enforce the traffic laws. The next day, the editor of the Daily Star tells Clark Kent of the new reforms the mayor is introducing. As Kent goes to his car, he's given a ticket for parking in an improper place. While he's outwardly annoyed at the ticket, Kent is happy to see the law get enforced. What'd you think of this one, Ed?
This almost makes me wonder if Superman is a good guy or a bad guy.
Makes me wonder if he's a little messed up in the head.
He's, this is the kind of situation I really think that people worry about from people with powers.
Right?
He's doing all this stuff at will, you know,
yeah.
And really nobody can stop him. And not that they necessarily try in this story, but even if they did, he's Superman.
I have to assume that deadly car accidents happened a lot back then because they make a huge deal out of it in this book. Granted,
they can't have happened that much more than they happen now.
See, and that's the way I'm looking at this, and I'm thinking this is the hill you're climbing up, Superman. This is the thing that you're gonna go after this month is fatal traffic accidents. And oh my God, that second page when he decides, all right, I'm doing something about this. He busts through the window of this freaking radio station. He tells this guy in there, he goes, unlock this door to the studio. The guy says, impossible. There's a program being broadcast. And so Superman just pushes the door off its hinges, says, sorry, but you asked for it. He goes over to the guy doing the broadcast. And this is, if y'all have seen, you know, this kind of stuff from in movies and whatnot, this is back in the day when you had somebody in a suit and a tie standing in front of a microphone. Mm-hmm. And
doing
he
commercials
just,
and all yeah, that kind of stuff. Yeah.
He just pushes him by his face. The guy says, get out of here. You can't. And that's when he just pushes him and says, beat it. And tell that control engineer that if he shuts me off the air, I'll make a beeline for his gizzard. It's like, wow, Superman.
So aggressive.
Good Lord.
So aggressive, man.
Yeah. It just seems, this just seems like a very weird issue for Superman to just really, because he goes over the top. He assaults a radio announcer. He crashes through the wall of the radio station, which comes back later in the issue as they're fixing. They've just put the fresh coat of paint and plaster on the wall where he had crashed through, and he crashes through again and destroying all those cars. I have to point out one thing though before I forget about it. Throughout all this carnage, this auto carnage, because they just refer to them as autos. There's three panels starting with, I think it's panel 29, 30, and 31. 31 is the best panel, but it's basically there, you know, all these calls are now coming into the police switchboard.
Mm-hmm.
And that panel 30 or 31, guy laying in bed with a sleeping cap on, and he says, rush a policeman here at once. There's a man under my bed. It's Superman. I hope.
Well, that's, I guess that's kind of a valid concern, I hope.
I mean, it's like there's somebody under my bed, which the fact that he's still just laying in the bed and knowing that there's, okay, let me back up a second.
Maybe
why is Superman under his bed, first of all? What does that have to do with destroying automobiles?
Well, Superman's not under his bed.
No.
But why would he think he is?
Right.
No, because I mean, there's no indication that he's there. But
right.
Yeah, I guess because Superman is like turned into the boogeyman and he's.
Oh, maybe. Yeah.
And it's like, you know, he's doing all this other stuff and something is going on and it must be Superman under my bed.
It's like he's hearing these stories about Superman out there doing stuff. And then, oh, I hear something. There's a man under my bed. I hope it's Superman. So he's afraid that there's somebody under his bed, but he's okay with it if it's Superman.
Yes, that would be okay. Superman. Yes. Anyone else would be problematic.
Right.
But Superman is okay. Maybe he wants to be better friends with Superman. Or, you know, I don't know.
Maybe, yeah.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
No. And even the very, because so the last few issues, the Superman stories in the last few issues have all started out with that, I think we called it a number of episodes back, a splash panel. You know, it's mm-hmm. the biggest panel in the story. It gives you that text that will eventually become leap over tall buildings in a single bound and all that stuff. But they've all been like him doing something heroic. And in this one, he's tearing a bridge apart. So right away from the first panel, you know that Superman is not a good guy in this issue.
Yep. Yeah, but it doesn't say, it doesn't really even say that he's doing anything nefarious, really.
Right. But what else? I mean.
But the picture is most definitely he is destroying that suspension bridge.
Right.
There's no two ways about what he's doing there. And
yep.
This is almost like the start of the one thing doesn't match what else is going on, whether it be the cover or the splash page or, you know, however the book starts. The cover, I mean, because this is an anthology book, you never know what's going to be on the cover. The cover of this issue talks about primarily another one of the characters that's in Action Comics right now, who actually has been around as long as Superman. I don't think most people realize that. There's several characters in these early Action Comics that are still around, as well as Superman, but they're mm-hmm. just not, they didn't become as popular.
Right. Right. Yep.
But they got their starts, you know, at the same time in Action Comics number one, right alongside Superman.
It's like the only thing he does in this entire issue that I agree with, and even then I only slightly agree with it, is making the dangerous curves into a straight road.
Okay. Yeah.
That didn't really hurt anybody, you know, unless, of course, he's the reason that they curve like that is because they're going around somebody's land or a nature preserve or right. something, and he just plows right through it. Usually
maybe now, whatever he went straight through is going to wash out.
Yeah.
Because it's too steep or, so, you know, you don't know. But yeah.
Yeah.
You would think if it were just a matter of the physicality of doing it, well, they still probably would have done it if they were at all able to. So there must be a reason why it was curvy.
Yep. Yep. Yeah. Because they can put a road through anything. You know?
Yeah.
It's they put train tracks through mountains 30 years before, 30, 40 years, 50 years before, you know? So it's there. Yeah. There's a reason why they didn't go through this hill.
What we didn't see is that the grade for that section of road is now like 48% or something like that, you know?
Right.
So it's like, well, yeah, it's straight, but.
And then it looks like he's almost taking a bow as one of the cars are speeding by. Drive straight mm-hmm. through, gentlemen, with my compliments. He's giving a little bow. But man, he just destroying all the cars, destroying that one factory. We get another mm-hmm. one of these super rich business owners who, you know, he confronts them about their manufacturing automobiles that are not safe because they use inferior metals and parts so as to make higher profits at the cost of human lives. And the guy's like, he doesn't quite deny it, but he doesn't quite admit it either. And suppose that did happen to be the case, what could you do about it? And, you know, just pretty much goading Superman to destroy his factory.
I would have to say that probably his reaction when he gets hit by this car is pretty rational, too. It, you know, he gets kind of upset with that and goes after him. That
right.
You know, as far as normal goes for this issue, it's like, well, yeah, I can understand that that would be your reaction to that. Okay.
And, you know, of course, he's mainly doing all this. The thing that triggered it for him is the death of a friend who I don't think we've met ever.
I don't remember the name, issues. No.
Charlie Martin, who was hit by a reckless driver and died. And that's kind of what triggered this. And, of course, he does, in his defense, I guess, he does phone the mayor first as Clark Kent. And why is our city one of the worst traffic situations in the country? And the mayor's just like, is it really too bad? But what can anyone do about it? And yeah, so. And then there's the moment where he catches the cop about to take a bribe. And the cop, to show that he's a good cop, not going to take a bribe. He punches the guy in the face.
Right. Yeah. After agreeing essentially to take it, but then when he realizes that Superman's there watching, he's like, "Oh no!" And then punches the dude for offering.
Yeah. He thinks to himself, "My gosh, it's Superman, the guy who's warring on reckless driving. I better think fast. Try to bribe me, will ya?" And punches the guy in the face. Superman doesn't have an issue with that. Police brutality doesn't faze Superman in any way.
See, I don't know. In the spring of 1939, I guess that was an appropriate reaction for police officers to, tried to bribe them, just cold cock them. Just, yeah.
And we get another scene of Superman grabbing up, in this case, the mayor, tucking him under an arm. Mm-hmm. And leaping to the morgue to show him all the dead people, the bodies of auto victims, maimed, horrible. And
now,
then you kill.
It was nice of them to not show us. So,
right.
I mean, the art did play nice. The bodies are all covered. You could just barely even tell that they're bodies and not just logs of white cloth. Yeah, you know. So fortunately, we just have the mayor's word for what we're supposed to be seeing.
Right. And then we get that great moment at the end where Clark gets a ticket and he acts. The description says that he's annoyed, but I think he's just acting because he says, "You can't do this to me." And then in parentheses, so in his head, he's going, "Hooray, it worked."
Yeah. Yeah. He's playing his part as Clark Kent yet again.
Yeah.
Also there, I want to note that is a drawing of Batman by Mr. Bob Kane, which is going to be appearing in the very next issue of Detective Comics, which is what's being advertised by our normally Superman ad here at the end of the strip. But this is a Batman in Detective Comics ad. So
they would call an in-house ad.
That could be, perhaps, the first published drawing by Bob Kane of Batman. I don't know that for sure, but, you know, if Detective Comics isn't out yet and Bob Kane drew this, then, you know, now it's not, it's just a headshot for those of you that don't have this book in front of you. So it's not, you know, it's not the first appearance in the shadow full figure, you know, whatever they go on about, but it's Bob Kane and it is Batman. So.
Boy, and I tell you, I would love to be able to somehow go back and watch people get to that, the end of this story, and get to that little in-house ad just to see how people reacted. You know, did they look at that and go, "Whoa, look at this guy, Batman," you know, and just, were they just super intrigued? And did they find that, you know, just the headshot of Batman super exciting? You know, that'd be interesting to be able to go back and see people's reactions to stuff like that.
I think at one point, as I was growing up, if I had seen that, I would at least keep my eyes open for the next issue of Detective Comics to see if I could see that character.
Yeah.
It is interesting enough, particularly when you compare it to Superman that I just spent, you know, the last 15 minutes reading. Very different character. This dude looks mean, or if he's a good guy, he looks almost evil. And, you know, so very
mask,
different from
covering his face. Yeah.
Yep. The ears.
Little clean ears, you know.
Yep. Not the clean cut, slicked back hair of the Superman. Yeah. So, very different character.
Yep. Very, but very, the polar opposite, and as far as the look is concerned of the superhero you just finished reading.
Now, having said that, though, there's a part in my head that wonders, was this Superman so aggressive in this story because they knew they were soon coming out with Batman, who was like that all the time? Is there any connection at all? Quite possibly no. They're two completely independent things that just happen to have come together.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, that could be. Or, you know, are they like, well, you know, we're getting ready to do this character that maybe is kind of dark. So can we, for a month or two, can we like darken Superman a little bit to kind of get people along that path? And then, you know, we'll spring them on the Batman and they can go with the Batman if they want that. And then we'll shine up Superman again. And those people that want that, you know, will have the Superman. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah,
I wouldn't be surprised, but
his next appearance, Superman, of course, which we'll talk about in the next episode, is the World's Fair comic issue number one, and that's as far as I've read so far. So I don't know. He's not like this
in the New York.
But I have no idea what he's like in the next issue of Action. I didn't read that.
So I don't know. Maybe that's me putting my modern take on the way they do things on something in 1939, you know, all those years ago.
It's definitely something that a marketing person would think of,
If they knew, far enough ahead,
right? Yeah,
that this is what was going to happen. Possible.
But yeah, Superman, I mean, it says it all in the title. Superman declares war on Reckless Drive.
He did. He just took avenue after avenue after avenue to combat problem driving. It was, yeah.
I will say that I have spent many times in my car out there on the road in town and come across somebody doing something stupid, running a red or cutting me off or, you know, running through a stop sign or just sitting out on my porch and somebody comes speeding by at like 60 miles an hour, and we're in this, you know, this little town where the speed limit's 20 because there's kids playing. There are times when I'm in those situations where I'm like, if I had the powers of Superman,
yep,
I would catch that car and do what Superman did in this issue and scare some sense back into him. But so there is that part of me that understands and respects what Superman's doing.
Getting to that point. Yeah.
At the same, so when he like goes after the individuals that he catches doing the reckless driving, I can almost forgive that because I get it. Mm-hmm. It's the destroying all the cars in the impound lot.
Yeah, going after the manufacturer. Yeah.
Yeah, going after the manufacturer. He tells that poor guy in the freaking used car lot something to the effect of, I'm trying to get to it real quick, but something to the effect of, this is going to hurt your pocketbook, but it's got to be done or something like that. Where is it? Sorry if this is tough on your pocketbook, but I'm thinking of lives to be saved, and just destroys this guy's inventory. So he could have put this dude, you know, this, for all we know, he's got a wife and kids at home that aren't going to eat the rest of the month because he has no cars to sell. And the only way he's going to be able to sell some more cars is to go out and buy some more cars. And he probably can't go buy some more cars until he sells some cars.
Right, yep.
Superman don't care.
And who knows, his cars may come from the manufacturer that Superman trashed too, so he can't get any new cars anyways.
Yeah, exactly. It was a used car lot.
Yeah, okay.
But still. And just, yeah, the one manufacturer that he just decided, you use inferior parts and metals, so I'm putting you out of business. It's just a little over the top, Superman. You overextended.
Well, gleefully, Superman runs amok, destroying the factory's manufacturing equipment.
He was having a ball. And what's funny is you read issues like this, stories like this, and you think about how, and I hear people complain about it a lot recently, the whole, I want to read a good Superman comic book. I don't want to read another one of these. What if Superman used his powers wrong, you know, incorrectly? What if he abused his powers? What if dark Superman, basically? And it's like, well, they did that in the first few issues of Action Comics.
That's, yeah.
Because you want to see Superman abusing his powers. That's right here in this issue. there's better ways to combat the reckless driving problem, Superman. But
well, there are laws he could work within. I mean,
yeah. But he doesn't have any patience for that. He very much comes across as a very impulsive, mm-hmm. Impulsive type of guy who doesn't think things through and thinks with his muscles more than his head. And sees a problem, and his first solution is just to destroy everything about it, and that'll get rid of the problem. And sometimes that's the right route, Superman. But in cases like this, this is not what you want to do, man.
Okay, so a quick Google tells me that the id is the primitive and instinctive component of personality. Is that what this perhaps is from Mr. Siegel? Is he's allowing his id to show, at least in this particular story. Something triggered him when he was trying to think of what to come up with, you know, what to write about. And because this really is just such an aggressive tackling of this problem. Now, we've seen Superman kind of be aggressive, but not to this extent. You know, he'll do like, you know, one or two things to show that aggression. But this, there were 6, 8, 10 different examples of him doing different things, trying to combat this problem of people dying because of vehicular accidents, which are due to any number of reasons. I mean, who knows, you know, exactly what happened. But it's almost like he just goes on this rampage and he does this and he thinks of something else and he does it and he thinks of something else and he does it. And it's like, hang on, dog, wait a minute. Let's, you know, make a list or let's just come on. But no,
take a breath.
It's just, you know, he's just going out there, pow, 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 and just taking out all these different things. And it's like, man.
Yeah.
So I just, you know, I wonder, is this Siegel expressing his feelings on some aspect of this? I can't imagine that he sits around feeling this way about all of these different things, but just, you know, something triggered this. And, you know, unfortunately, at this point, we will never have the opportunity to ask Jerry Siegel, you know, what, but, you know.
No, you're right. It does. And I remember thinking that when I was reading the story, this does really feel like this is somebody writing angrily. This is a writer who is taking his frustrations and his anger out in this story. Maybe that, you know, maybe earlier that week he got in a car accident, or a loved one was involved in a car accident. But yeah, this does feel like, you know, the old line from Groundhog Day where he's driving with the groundhog and he tells him, "Don't drive angry. Don't drive angry." This is, I want to tell Jerry Siegel, don't ride angry.
Don't ride angry. Yes. Yeah, it's wow. It really, you know, and I would imagine that even for its time, this was really aggressive.
Yeah.
For, comic books are relatively new, of course, in 1939. So I don't know, maybe seeing this, you know, some people are like, oh, well, you know, is this what we can expect from this new format, this new media, or this new medium, right? Medium. You know, this type of story. But I just, you know, everybody was okay with this, you know? And I guess not everybody, because ultimately, what is the dude's name that tried to get all comics canceled in the 50s because of horror comic?
Wortham,
yeah, maybe, I don't know, maybe this had an effect on him as a youngster. He read this and he was like, oh, I don't know. We'll see. I don't really have anything else that I was wanting to throw out there about this crazy Clark Kent dude here and the trashing of all the reckless driver accoutrement.
Yeah, I don't have anything else.
Okay.
As well, so I'll go ahead and wrap it up. I want to thank everyone for listening to this episode of the Superman Super Show. If you want to drop us a line, you can do that at thesupermansupershow@gmail.com. And then if you want to help us in any way, you can rate the show over at Apple Podcasts. That is, from what I'm told, if you listen to your shows through Apple Podcasts and then you rate the not the episode, but the podcast in general, the more ratings a podcast has, the higher up in the algorithms it is. So if somebody goes out there and searches for Superman, the more ratings we have, the the higher up in the list we will show if somebody goes out there and does a search. And then of course beyond that, just tell everybody about it. I put a tweet out just before HeroesCon telling everybody, if you're going, tell every single person you meet about Just Another Fanboy. And, if you want to just go ahead and create and print out 1,000 flyers and hand those out as well, that'd be great. I don't think anybody did that, but that's okay. But other than that, those are two just big things you can do for the show that is not going to cost you any money at all. So until next week, I'm Steven, and I'm going to say goodbye. Goodbye. And here's Ed, and he's going to say goodbye.
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 Superman is a copyrighted feature appearing in Action Comics magazine.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.